Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Anne-Marie O'Dwyer, chatting all things the psychiatry of cancer.
I want to say that it's very common to be very distressed, to have a very prominent psychological response to cancer, that they are not alone, that lots of other people feel in that way, and that it's important for them to have information. Information is power, but it has to be the right information.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Throw-In Hurling Show with Eddie Brennan and John Milan, along with myself, Michael Verney. There's loads to talk about after the league kicked off, and what better place to start with Nolan Park, where the great Leinster rivals Wexford and Kilkenny finished level 2-16 apiece. Eddie, what was your main takeaway from the game?
It was a very, very average affair, and I think I'm probably being generous with that. Up to, you know, maybe the big kind of the mistake between Tommy Welch and Conor Fogarty that allowed Wexford to get that goal, and the game just exploded into life there afterwards. But up to that, it had been a kind of a tame affair. Lots of errors, lots of kind of, it was nearly old-fashioned in a way, because there was an awful lot of bombs from the goalies. Wexford definitely had a very deliberate tactic in the second half with a very strong breeze, which had an impact on the game. They went route one with a few, like, and it was landing just in the D, like, it was landing right in the D. And in fairness, Kilkenny dealt with it well, but it was only when they start moving around a little bit, like, even Shane Reck came in and added a couple of good points. But I remember going back in there, I think, if I'm right, was it Liam Dunn was the last manager when Davy Fitz went in? And I think they came up to Kilkenny one day and this was their time, and they got an unmerciful beating. And since that, this Wexford team, this Wexford crew, like, a lot of them maybe overturned Kilkenny at minor and under 21 back, you know, at the mids, 15, 16, around that time, you know, from 16, 17 onwards. But from then on, Kilkenny have definitely struggled to handle Wexford through Davy Fitz's reign, which we don't like to admit, but the facts are the facts. And we've struggled to figure them out. And I think they seem to have a little bit of a step on us. And yeah, look, yesterday I thought Kilkenny were Kilkenny should have won that match. Doesn't mean they were the better team, but they should have won it. It was in their hands for a while. And in fairness to Wexford, Rossi said it afterwards in the interview. They stuck at it, and they got the rewards. You know, Conor Foley, I suppose in the league, we were just talking about off air, what are you looking for? You're looking to find a few lads that are going to step up and kind of say to the manager, give me that jersey, give me the opportunity. Well, definitely Conor Foley is a guy who I thought yesterday was impressive. I think he held his man scoreless, and then he went along and picked off two monsters a pint. So if you're looking for a little bit of leadership from someone fresh, maybe that's the type of thing you're looking for, and say that he's not afraid to do that. Because that's the way the game has gone now. Playing number three, went up the field and picked off 2 points. One of them, he was definitely on our 45 when he got it. But look, all in all, entertaining and exciting last 10, 12 minutes. You know, Billy Drennan even, that was, like, to go the same spot on 2 penalties, absolutely brilliant. But yeah, that was it really. And like I said there was a mistake coming out with the Kilkenny backs. Just that, you know, that little bit of confusion between two lads and saying to John, Tommy Welch brought it out and just popped it in, kind of just a bit of a miss hit into Fogarty's feet, and Fogarty kind of stood waiting for the ball. The Wexford lads got in, and look, I'm not harping on that, you know, two good lads, but it was just a little mistake that obviously gave Wexford the in.
John, we'll come back to Kilkenny in a minute, but just on Wexford, I don't know, was it time for an inside man and somebody like maybe Keith Rossiter, who knows all the young talent inside out, and some people inside and outside of Wexford would question, you know, the level of the talent that they have at the minute coming through? Did they need someone like him who kind of knows them inside out? And I know it's early and I know it's only the Walsh Cup and it's only the first round of the league, but they have hit the ground running and it looks like there's a fair bit of freedom in their play as well too.
Tommy Walsh, right, to go back inside because all of 8 years, Davey was there for 5, Darren was there for 3. So that's nearly a full decade without having an inside manager. And you know, Rossiter, he's young, he's bringing fresh ideas, he knows the modern game, and as we touched on last week, you only have to see with the personnel that he's brought into his backroom team, really, really good, honest lads. And look, I think what's really good for any panel is that he's introducing freshness into it. He's introducing young blood. And Eddie Italian, and look, Kilkenny have seen that over the years. They've added All-Ireland to Cody introducing, you know, 3 or 4 young lads every year. And I think that only bodes well for a panel. And I think the elder lads and the lads who are probably in their mid-20s, they get an all kick out of that as well. Probably the one thing that they probably have to look at, and he mightn't do it so soon, is the free-taking duties. Now, I know I wasn't at the game yesterday, but I was only talking to Eddie off-air here, is that they missed a couple of frees. Now, he mightn't do it early doors because Chin is going so well from play and, you know, Chin is captain. But they may look at it at the latter end of the league where this Seamus Casey, they might say to themselves, right, Seamus Casey, we'll give you a couple of games throughout the league without being on the freeze. And then they may see how he's going from play. And then if he's going well from play and he's worthy spot on the team, you will be nearly saying, you know what, you'd nearly carry him to hit the freeze alone. Because, you know, when you go into the championship, you know, we've seen time and time again, the good free takers, they're 9 out of 10 free takers where they very rarely miss freeze. And I think that's probably been holding Wexford back a small bit over the years, where they haven't had a real go-to free taker where you can 100% say he's going to put the ball over the bar. And Seamus Casey may just be that man that that Rossler might look to hit the freeze going forward into the summer. But yeah, look, a cracking start for Wexford. And what it does is it sets them up now, because, you know, they have a point on the board. They can beat Offaly Saturday. And then they can look at the last 3 games then between Clare, Waterford and Cork. And if they're to pick up one win out of either of those 3 games, I think that will nearly suffice for them to secure Division 1A status next year. And it would probably put them give them a good opportunity to get into a semi-final, and they can take that into the championship then.
Well, when the pod finishes, I'll be sending on that audio clip to Johnny Kelly anyway. Offaly might as well not show up next Saturday by the sounds of things. Eddie, quick one for you, just on what John said about the free taking there. Like, throughout your Kilkenny career, was it a case where did you nearly just know, like, Henry was going to put the ball over the bar? And probably same, John, with you, with Paul Flynn. You need that, don't you? You need that reliability. It even takes away any little bit of anxiety from other players, doesn't it?
Well, particularly, and Eddie is the same. Like I used to steal my head in from a forward point of view. Everyone would all say, oh, Jesus, you know, you got a great score or you laid off a great pass. But Eddie, it touched on it. I'd nearly take great pride out of winning a free. There's never anything about the lad winning a free and getting murdered to hit the free and the lad will step up and put the ball over the bar. There's never anything about a corner forward or a wing forward winning 3 or 4 frees and it being worth 3 or 4 points. And I kind of knew when in my own way, right, if I win a free, you know, Flynn is going to put the ball over the bar, Kelly's going to put over the bar. So you're kind of saying, right, if I win a free, it's as good as a score. And that's where we're going back to at Wexford, where some of these lads, they might win a free and it could be on a difficult angle, or it could be difficult side of the field, and you're saying, oh, is such and such going to put it over a bar, or are we going to be guaranteed a score? And that's where we're going to go back to, and that's where I think Rossiter, as I touched on, may look at Seamus Kennedy, because he's hit him with Oil Gate and he's been brilliant with Oil Gate. He's hit him underage with Wexford. And he secures you nearly getting that point every time you get fouled.
Yeah, and I agree with, I think as well, probably what is the key thing here, and far be it for us. You know, I won't ever criticise anyone taking frees because I took them enough time with the club, and it's, oh, geez, it's horrible when it goes skew ways on you.
I remember John having a bad day with DLS on them as well one day too.
But
I totally agree with you. Look, frees weren't for me, you know, like, you know, it's a different type of pressure, but like, when you're constantly up the field practicing over and over and over again, and like some of these lads, you know, they're just born to hit frees. I wasn't born to hit frees. I'm sure Eddie's the same. No. You know, that's just the nature.
I think you have to be taking it from a young age, John. Too, I think it's something you're, like you said, you're like Owen Kelly was probably hitting frees since he was a chap. You know, Herman Mullinahone 2 or 3 years above where he should be. So it becomes, it's like anything, it's muscle memory, it's something that you embrace. But look, on that point, I think if you were to look back even over the last couple of years, Wexford had quite a few. Conor Mack hit him for a while, Rory O'Connor hit him for a while, Jack O'Connor was hitting him there during the league campaign. And still, you know, there were and Chin as well. And look, it's not being critical of him, like I said, but when you are standing back in Keith Rossiter's shoes and you were maybe looking at Wexford for the last couple of years, I would say they're probably, their miss percentage of placed balls is too high. So therefore, if you're going to go into tight matches, and in the matches that they won, the Leinster finals and the different matches that beat Kilkenny, their free taking was good. But when it comes to the crunch, like you said there, you have to have your 9, 9.5 out of 10 free taker. It's as simple as that. And I think Shin has hit them well for them at times. He is a player that will step up. He's a leader for them. He will embrace that. But I think maybe if you have someone, and there's no confusion, there's no, do you know what I mean? I think sometimes it, the best thing, you don't even have to ask who's taking the freeze. It's so-and-so. That's it. It's like, you know, whatever, Hogan hits the freeze for Cork, you know, Rogers was hitting there. You have your free taker. Once he's on the pitch, he's hitting them. It's like TJ, he's back in again, and Billy Drennan is good. But I think you have to have the one man, and it gives the rest of the players great assurance. Like John said, you win your freeze, you know it's as good as the score.
Yeah, just on Kilkenny, Eddie, before we move away from that game, did we learn much new? Like, I only saw bits and pieces of the game I was racing yesterday. Like, Conor Heary was starting wing forward. Now, how did that go? Dara Corcoran, full back. How did that go? New faces. How did most of the new faces get on yesterday?
I thought Dara Corcoran done well at full back. I thought he was steady. He's a big, robust fella. I think he's a guy who has good experience playing the backs beside some really good lads as well. So I thought he looked okay. He was solid. You know, when Wexford were spraying balls to the corners, he was okay. Maybe in the first half, took him a while to steady down, but, you know, he's a good lad. I thought Jordan Malloy looked comfortable at this level, albeit, you know, the pace of the game wasn't what you'd expect come championship, which is obviously the big test. But he blended in there seamlessly in a wing back. He was busy. He was active. Heary, busy. I think at times probably Heary maybe doesn't believe in himself enough and to pick off points when they're there for him. He's a big, strong fella. He looks to win ball. He's good at winning ball, but he's always looking to kind of offload it. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, Cody playing at centre forward. He was looking to be there for the little pop out and shoot their points. But I think, look, the one area that Kilkenny still needs to be fixed or needs to be worked a little bit is just that variety in puck outs. That's the one I think that, if you were to, and for me, in my opinion, is that over the last couple of years, that when Kilkenny are in those big moments, I think, you know, it's their variety of puck outs is where they need to probably tidy up, because all the rest will be there. You know, Derek Ling is similar in Brian in his views, in that the basics will be there. They will never, ever give up. They will fight on their backs. They will leave everything on the pitch. But it's just that little bit of finesse. And I think if they can, you know, they'll work on that through the league. And that's where, to me, this is where, if Kilkenny are going to jump, if they're going to jump that final hurdle and get over the line, I think it's in that area is where it's needed.
Okay. John, you were in Ennis yesterday, finished Clare 125, Cork 219. Brilliant goal by Shane Amory at the end was the difference maker. the only word you could use to describe the ball across was a sumptuous ball across. Jeez, it was beautiful. The flinch splitting pass by David Fitzgerald. You know, was there much of an intensity to this? Anything correlating to a championship intensity in this game?
Oh, 100%. This was not your normal, first round of the National League. You could see there was a bit at stake. Both teams wanted to go and win the match. I thought Clare were very, very good. Cork were good in patches. I thought even at half-time, they looked in a great position. They got two cracking goals. Tommy O'Connell's goal was, wow, what an unbelievable goal. Horgan again, just being that predator inside, took the goal really well.
The drop puck is back. He drop pucked it, I think, nearly.
Yeah,
it was an unbelievable finish. But the goals were the three goals were worth the admission fee. Were worth the admission fee alone. It just goes to show, even Tommy O'Connell, wing back, popping up, no one tracked the run. I think it was Robbie O'Flynn got laid off the ball to him, laid off a great pass to him, and it was looking like he was going to go for the point. He sold to the dummy to, I think it was Mark Rogers, actually.
I think he tracked him back, yeah.
Tracked it to the back. And then just going to show you, that's where the game is right now. You've seen with Foley, with Wexford, bombing up the field and getting a couple of scores, and Tommy O'Connell likewise. Rogers was brilliant yesterday for Clare. You touched on free-taking duties, I think. He nailed, I think, 10 or 11 place balls. He was very influential from play as well. Robin Mouncey, centre forward, he was very, very good. Fitzgerald was excellent. I was only saying it to Eddie before we came on here. Jeez, I went down for a cup of coffee. The man is just a man mountain. He's massive, huge. But that pass to Shannon Demory, what a finish. We seen Tony Kelly last year. He batted it into the back of the net against Cork in the championship. He was brilliant. Shane Amore. I'm kind of mixing his name up. He's kind of a name. He's an unusual name, but he was like a man possessed when he came on in midfield. The one disappointment thing for me from a Cork point of view, they looked in control at half time. When they got the two goals, it brought them right back into the game. You're saying, right, they have the elements now. It's looking highly likely that they're going to push on and win the game. And I just felt for the first quarter of that second half, they were wanting to go short, play the ball short, and they were probably taking an extra pass too many out of their fence, and they got turned over on one or two occasions. And I think it took all of nearly 14 minutes before they got their first score on the board in the second half.
A Gale at their back, John.
True, a free from Patrick Horgan. And like I only said it to Eddie, you had Robbie O'Flynn, you had Patrick Horgan, you had Brian Hayes inside, and they were being starved of ball, And I just feel that, when they went a bit more direct and they decided to let the ball in and let the ball do the talking, they got a bit of joy into it. And they came right back into the game, and it was looking like they were gonna push on and win the game. But then Shane Amore came up and got that cracking goal. But yeah, look, all in all, a great game. One lad who I was. Impressed with, threw himself about, big physical lad, can move, was Sean Toomey. He went toe to toe with Dermot Ryan, another big lad. Dermot Ryan was good, but they had a right ding dong battle, and I think Sean Toomey could be a type of lad that could fall into this Cork team. And maybe we've touched on it time and time again where Cork probably need one or two of those physical players up in their forward line, and Sean Toomey could be that, just that guy that might be the lad that they might throw into the mix up in their forward division.
Eddie, Cork have all the finesse. They've loads of lovely hurlers, but, and I mean this is a complimentary word, they need a bit of ignorance, don't they?
We spoke about it there off air. Like, they need a bit of dog. You need a bit of, like, and I mean, again, this in the highest sense, look how effective Niall McCarthy was for that Cork team. It's having that balance, I suppose, realistically. I don't think, yeah, your modern players can be all singing, all dancing. They have to be. They have to have the skill. They have to have all that stuff. But I still think you need a guy that's going to just absolutely walk through walls for you when you really need someone to do that and be brave enough to do that. And I'd say, look, if we're being very, very honest about it, what has been holding Cork back over the last couple of years? Full back still, I'm waiting to see, can they close that up once and for all? Joyce looks to be the man at centre back. He's a tidy guy. He commands the position. He can score. He can do everything. But I think to have that pure and utter blocker at full back and then equally up the field, you need to have somebody. I see a lot of teams doing it there, like Wexford even there yesterday. They doubled up with Jack O'Connor and Chin on the wing. Two big lads, drop the ball down on top of them, make them win it, and the rest are coming looking for breaks. I think Cork, if there's one thing that Cork probably don't have, and they have everything else, is that fella that you can dump a puck out down on and know that he might win it for you and then turn and go with it, or compete with it, or break it for the lads that are around him. Because Conor Lehan has a couple of good things, but Conor Lehan's game is probably breaking, working off breaks around a guy like that. So is that potentially the missing piece? But I think they need a fella that's going to, I think he has to be bowled too. There's always a place for a lad like that on your championship team. I think you want a lad sometimes go in there and ruffle a few fellas up, rile a few lads up, distract them, get in their heads a little bit and create a little bit of confusion. And I think there's a skill in that too. And maybe that's something that I thought that Cork team that myself and John played against, they had guys that could do that.
Well, you did, because you even go touch back to that team. Even someone like an unsung hero like Timmy McCarty probably didn't get the credit, but you know, you could lamp ball down on top of me at Niall McCarty, then you had Corkin in full forward. And Sean Toohey could be the guy. Like, look, they had Dalton last year, but yeah, I think, you know, and that's what the league is going to be all about for Cork, you know, unearthing a couple more players that could probably put their hand up for championship. It was good to see Robbie O'Flynn back yesterday. He was good in patches, had a right good battle with Adam Hogan. But I couldn't understand why they just left him in the full forward and they didn't bring him out, because, you know, he was, you know, looking really lively, speed. And he could be another guy then that you could put on the opposite wing. If you had Sean Toohey on one wing, and then if you had Robbie O'Flynn on the other wing, just gives you the option then to go along, like, you know. And I just think at times yesterday that they didn't have the confidence to go long. That's why they were going short out from the back. But when they did decide to go a bit more direct and go a bit long, go direct into the full forward and, you know, decided to go long on their puck outs, they got a bit of joy out of it.
You can't go direct all the time, but the odd ball in there definitely works, especially if teams aren't expecting it. If teams are expecting you to always play through the lines and play through those kind of tight passes, a long ball where the defence is pulled out and you have a Horgan or someone like that in there, or a Seamus Hardy, can definitely work. From a Clare point of view, John, they're going to be missing Tony Kelly for the whole league. He got operated on his ankle before Christmas. It's a good start for them. They haven't really lit it up in the last couple of leagues. It's kind of an important result because they've beaten one of the other big hitters on the other teams that are going to be like really in the reckoning for one of those three places to automatically qualify to Division 1A next year. Who were the, you know, you mentioned Robin Mountie and even Mark Rogers. Any other fellas that impressed you, or even with the way that they were playing? What sort of way did they go about it?
Yeah, well, look, they were mixing it up. They were going long and short. But look, one sure thing about them, when they did go long, the ball was sticking. You know, you had the old reliables. Conor Cleary was solid at full back. McInerney was centre back. You know, you Dermot Ryan. But yeah, those were the standout players. I thought Robin Mountie, Shane Meehan looked very lively when he came on. They tried out a couple of fellas. They tried out Garrod, Sheedy, and there was a Glynn lad. They had their moments. But look, for me, they have a superstar in Rogers. This lad is gonna be a top player. Look, he had a great year last year, but he was excellent last year, and he's probably one of those guys that could really burn it up in the summer and take that pressure off of Tony Kelly. And look, I think you could see yesterday that the delight in Brian Lowe in the aftermath of the match, that, you know, he was over the moon after getting the result and getting a good performance. And look, you know, you see the personnel that they were down yesterday. They didn't have no John Conlon, they didn't have no Shane O'Donnell, no Tony Kelly. no Ryan Taylor. So they're not under as much pressure now to, you know, Kelly's probably going to miss the majority of the league, probably the whole of the league, likewise Ryan Taylor. But they don't have to rush the likes of Conlon now or Shane O'Donnell back. They can kind of pinpoint what games they want them to play in because, you know, they're off to a good start and probably the likelihood they'll pick up another two wins and that will secure Division 1A status for 2025.
Eddie, Clare in 2024, silverware needed on the table, it's fair to say.
Oh, 100%. They have to. They need a Munster or they need to get to an All-Ireland final. Would they take a league? I'd say they would, but Loughan being Loughan, he knows himself from his Loughan playing days that the only thing in Clare you will ultimately be judged on is probably at least a Munster title. So I think they'll be targeting that this year. They've been close. Okay, last year it got away from in the Munster final, having beaten Limerick in the round robin, which, you know, albeit a point. But they've shown probably consistently over the last couple of seasons, they're well able to. And we always find ourselves invariably coming back to talk about Limerick because they are the team and that's what you're going to be measured against, because unless you can beat them, you know, you're just part of the also-rans. And they've shown, in fairness to Clare, they've shown they're more than capable of going toe-to-toe with this Limerick team. And it's just a case of, you know, coming back stronger. You know, we talked about underrated. I think Colin Malone is quite underrated player, but so valuable to what Clare are. But they seem to have, yeah, I'd agree with that, I think. And Brian Loughan as well is normally very, very mellow in his interviews. He doesn't give, you know, he never see emotion. Yesterday he was, geez, his interview after the match, he was buzzing, like, you know. So he knows that he needs to flesh out his squad. He knows that in the event of having to, you know, lose a Ryan Taylor or someone like that, like, and the impact that might have, or, you know, if a player has John Conlon 2 years ago in the semi-final and suddenly the arse nearly fell out of it on him. So he knows that he needs to bolster the squad. But I think they will have to, you know, is it Brian's fifth season now? You know, so he himself, I'd say he himself be the first to say either deliver this year or then, you know, he's going to question maybe whether he'll stay on there. Like, so, and I'm not trying to write him off in any shape or form. I'm just saying I would imagine Loughan is that type of character that he'll feel that this is it now, this season. This is 5 years now working these boys, 5 years assembling a squad. He has a bit of dip there now and it's just all about getting it right for the big days.
What they have in their favour as well, when they are on it, and I mean when they are on it and when they're at it, it's a very, very difficult venue to go to. No matter who they're missing, whether, you know, it's a bit like Nolan Park, whether it be a league game or whether it be a championship game, when they are on it and when they are pumped up, Jesus, there won't be too many teams that go there, lads, and win. And is Limerick go their first match in the Munster Championship?
Oh, and brilliant. That's going to be a cracker.
That is just going to be a cracker.
Like, Tip snuck them last year with two goalkeeping mistakes. You know, so I'd imagine. And Brian Cody, when we were playing, put huge value on going tennis in a league match. He put that as massive currency and something you could put in the bank.
The other Group 1A game, we won't touch on it too much, but Waterford had a 12-point win over Offaly, hit the three goals all in the first half. John, I suppose the one thing, just even Stephen, to see Stephen Bennett back on the pitch and looking like he's moving fairly well must be a big plus. And obviously Caleb Lyons back from his travels as well. Routine enough for Waterford though, by all accounts.
Yeah, well, look, geez, when you get the reports in throughout the game yesterday, it was touch and go for a while. I think the margin was down to 3 points, but ultimately it was the two goals that Offaly conceded in short time. I think it was what, one after the other. I think the two Stephen Bennett goals gave Waterford a bit of a cushion, and I think Offaly got it back to 3 points then in the second half, and then they had the sending off, and then Waterford then managed to push on and get 8 unanswered scores, and those 8 unanswered scores could be massive come the end of this league campaign. You know, considering that it could have been, instead of winning by 3 or 4 points, they ended up winning by 12 points in the end. So, you know, with scoring averages coming into play at the end of the league campaign, that could be a big 12 point win for them in the end. But yeah, look, I was actually surprised to see Stephen Bennett, you know, going off the back that, you know, the news that he was given. I think probably Davey will be clever here. I think he'll use him in the games that He wants to use him in. He'll wrap him up in cotton wool for other games. And look, when he gets other players back, I suppose that will allow for Stephen Bennett to, you know, maybe to take a game or two off. But look, it was a good start. Next weekend, they play Clare at home. That'll be a good barometer. That'll be a good gauge of where this Waterford team are right now. But, you know, all in all, a good start. 2 points on the board, and you couldn't have asked for any more.
Eddie, just with the, obviously, the ramifications of this year's league going into next year and seven teams in 1A and seven teams in 1B, do you already find even yourself a bit more enthused about this year's league? Does it feel like there's a bit more kind of on the line? And there was bite to some of the games yesterday, which, let's call a spade, were definitely lacking last year.
Yeah, and look, there was obviously, I think, three of the matches there resulted in quite heavy defeats. But, like yesterday, like we always have a good old rivalry with Wexford, but there was a fair little stir inside Nolan Park yesterday for the first round of the league, you know, the first weekend in February. You don't normally associate that kind of a stir. And even we're talking about the appeal of different venues when you go hurling during the league, like even going down to Wexford Park is a tough old place to go because it's windy and wet and, you know, those type of conditions. But like you said there was an added little incentive there yesterday, and while both teams were tipping along and just jabbing away all through the match, it was only when it exploded to life that you got something meaningful. But like you said there, it's against the backdrop of knowing that next year, you know, you want to be up in that top division, because I think you're going to see it's going to be ideal for a team that wants to blood three or four guys. Like, you're going to be going into a good-sized cauldron in terms of the intensity and the quality of what you're going to be playing. If you have the seven top teams in Ireland going at each other during the league campaign, you're now going to have very exciting matches. But it's also going to test your newbies. It's going to test your team. You're going to have real good matches. And the question will be, and we'll have to wait, obviously, and see, how beneficial will that be when you roll into Championship a couple of weeks later? How undercooked, potentially, will the teams that maybe end up in the 1B? You know, so that's something for down the line.
Yeah, and there's no playoff, Ernie. I think.
Okay. I thought that was in the original plan. Okay.
No. There's no playoff. So
you know, one team fourth. Is it get up? The fourth. But is it the fourth team in one of the groups, whichever has the top? Is it the, you have six going through, two, three and three going automatically through, and then one more.
Bit of a puzzling one that one fourth place will go through because one of the divisions is stronger than the other. There's no point in saying any different. So
yeah.
You'd imagine the fourth place team in Group B will have better scoring difference than...
Well, not necessarily, because, you know, if, you know, we've seen the weekend, Dublin shipped a big defeat, a heavy defeat to Tipperary. Likewise did Westmeath. Likewise did Antrim. And just saying, the off chance that Dublin do finish on 4 points, you know, if they're to ship another one or two of those heavy defeats, just say off of Galway or possibly Limerick, you know, their scoring average could be well down. They'll be then dependent on putting up a heavy score against either Antrim or Westmeath. And they go to Antrim the weekend up to Belfast, up to Corrigan Park. That's not going to be easy either. You did touch on a lot. You know, I know we're going ahead of ourselves here, but you said next year that the seven teams that are going to be in Division 1B next year, none of those sides have the opportunity to get into a league semi-final. So it's the top two teams next year out of the top seven will go straight to a league final. So are we taking away from next year's league, where you're seeing the seven other counties saying, well, you know what, before the ball is even thrown in, you don't have any opportunity of winning the league. So you've only the possibility of either winning a Leinster or Munster championship or an All-Ireland. I think that's a little bit unfair. And what I would do is the top team in Division 1A goes straight to the final. Second place goes to the semi-final. And the top team out of next year's Division 1B plays second in the semi-final. But the second team in Division 1A then gets home advantage for that semi-final. I just think you have to throw something in there for the other seven teams to say, well, look, you know what? You still have an opportunity of winning the league title.
Yeah, I take your point, but you're also rewarding the eighth best team in the league with a semi-final place. Like, if there were, you know, if you want to be in the semi-finals, you get up to 1A. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd be putting the top team in 1B would be the eighth best team. You'd be putting them into a semi-final. Like, I just think, you know, your progress is to get up into Division 1A. That would be what I would look at.
Yeah, but the reality, I suppose, is you're taking, I think in some ways, what you're saying there, basically, and we're on about the calendar year as well, that this is against the backdrop of championship coming very close down the track. So it seems to be, as I would see it, maybe, you know, a way of keeping that kind of sterile or clean for the teams, that you're going to get a window, a natural window is going to open up there. And yeah, I think in some ways, is it going to take the value away from the league a small bit? Because like John said there, realistically, you know, whatever competition you're in, there has to be some little kind of light at the end of the tunnel. And I think if the teams in 1B, the seven of them, are just, they're playing glorified matches, there's consequences to get up, there's consequences to drop down or whatever, there's a reward for getting up. But it's really, when you look at it that way, is it taken away from the league a tiny bit?
Asher, delighted to get up, is it not?
Ah, no. I mean, come on. So you're gonna have a league next year where seven teams only have an opportunity when having league success.
The best seven teams.
But like, there has to be an incentive there for the teams that are gonna find themselves in Division 1B next year. There has to be an incentive, whether it be a top the table. Right, whoever tops the table, you still have an opportunity going on and pushing on and winning the league title. That has to be an incentive there for those seven teams.
The incentive is to get up into 1A, in my view.
Ah,
come here, last one.
That's my Eddie, story, and I'm sticking to it, Mixer.
Eddie, you touched on something there, and I just want it really quickly. You said about the worst venue you can go to play a game in. I would have Parnell Park and Pierce Stadium would be right atop my list. Parnell Park was just like playing in a graveyard. That's what I found it to be like. And Pierce Stadium was like, you knew you were only going to be able to puck the ball about 30 yards for one half. There was going to be a breeze blowing that strong. What would have been your, you know, the venue you never liked going to, where it was always going to be fairly dark, dreary and miserable?
I was saying to John, once I played in Fraher Field and it was dreary as hell, and it was Mark, and I think, I don't know, was it Queeley or Tom Cullinan? They just wrestled the head off you, but... No, what was it? Sean Cullinan pulled back, and Jesus, I think he just threw me out of the way one season. Wexford Park is a tough place to go, but no, Pierce Stadium, we were playing up there, quick story, we played up there a couple of years ago, and I remember, I think it was PJ Delaney got injured, and there was a good stop, and Adrian Cullinan was playing with Galway at the time, I think this left-hander, but we were standing there close by, and like, everyone was like looking at PJ on the ground going, come on, we're all getting cold here, like, will you get up and let us get going again? And we just glanced off up over the back, the goal out into the sea. And you could see this big black cloud of rain just slowly coming towards us. Like, and we all knew, like, oh, we're going to get absolutely drowned and wet. And like 5 minutes later, we're all shivering and shaking, trying to hurl. And like this icy cold rain after falling down on top of it was just absolutely horrible.
But there's one funny story. We went and played on Pierce Park in 2012. Damien Hayes was telling me on an All-Star trip. We played, it was a real sunny day, right? So it could be the polar opposite, right? Like, either wind and rain, and geez, it's dreadful. Or it could be the sun could be splitting the rocks. But Hayes was telling me a funny story in the All-Star trip. We were playing, I won't mention the Galway, it's Galway's player's name. But we were playing Galway in the National League. We had to beat Galway to we were on the back foot straight away. We lost the first three games. We had to beat Galway to try and stay up. We did win our last two games. When we beat Galway, and there was one player taken off for Galway against us up in Salt Hill. It was a real sunny day, and Hayes was telling me that he went down around an hour later, and he was passing down by a couple of the coffee shops, and he's going down and get himself a cup of coffee or an ice cream or something. And he said, there was the player who was taken off, sitting back, trying to get himself a suntan. And now he had to be taken off. So those are the highs and lows of Salt Hill. You either get a suntan or you'd be shivering like Eddie was up there.
Well, that player had his priorities, right, I can tell you that. I'll tell you a quick one. And I won't mention the county you're at and involved, but I know that Oxygen was well in full flow on the Saturday evening, and there was a qualifier game going on in Parnell Park, and a certain player I don't know whether he manufactured an injury or ended up getting injured, but about 45 minutes later, he was with us in the middle of Oxford. that's a brief little aside. Lads, the games in Group B, there was two turkey shoots. Limerick, I think it was 136 to Antrim's 1-9, and Galway put up a monster score against Westmeath, as they always seem to do. Probably very little gleamed, I'd say, from either game, except the fact that it looks like Limerick have plenty of their second string is pretty strong and will definitely push the first string this year. But just on probably the more competitive game, or the game we learned more about, Eddie, Tipperary and Dublin finished Tipperary 227, Dublin 22 points. You know, I don't know if Parnell Park suits Dublin any longer, given the players they have at their disposal. But from a Tipperary point of view, to go up there and, you know, lay waste to Dublin in the first round of the league is a very, very positive sign, especially considering the players they're missing.
Yeah, look, it was a very workmanlike performance from Tip. I watched kind of a decent bit of it there, and they look. I suppose Liam Cahill now is well bedded down with these lads now, and they know what he's about and he knows what they're about. It was good to see, like, for him now, options are coming back. Greg Morgan back in the fold there yesterday, Saturday. Barry Heffernan back in the fold. Like, here's Barry Heffernan, the two-time All-Ireland winner. You know, he's a good lad to have coming back in there. He's a big, strong, physical fella. So Tip are getting a lot of those guys that were injured. Paddy Cadell injured, missed most of last season. He's now building that depth in his squad. Bring back in then, you know, Willie Connors back in from Killadangan. Very busy around midfield yesterday as well. And, like, look, I suppose Jake Morris is a guy that's really, really grown into vice-captain this year. He's a go-to man.
I think that's a big move,
for...
Eddie, isn't it? Even, like, he stepped up for him last year, I thought, and was consistent mostly throughout the year. Now he's giving him vice-captain. He's almost like saying, like, I know what you can do. I've seen it at 20 and under 21. Yeah. Just go and do it now and go and be a leader for this team.
Yeah, and I think, look, albeit I felt last year, I spoke with this time that, you know, looking in from the outside, I thought it was a mistake last year. They seemed to play him as a 12 last year against Galway, and it didn't work. Like, where if you're opposition team, where do you not want to see Jake Morris? You don't want to see him buzzing around inside in the full forward line with that license to go around a little bit. Like, he comes out and picks up ball. He is lethal around the goal. And that's the one thing that Liam Cahill and Beavens, they really want in their team. Their under-20s team, going back a few years ago against Cork, like, they pulverised Cork with I think, four goals maybe in All-Ireland under 21 or 20. And that's what he wants in those guys. So Jake Morris is one of those go-to lads. You know, their backs, you'll find and see that back division now will settle down. I reckon he'll play 4 out of 6 probably most days, and you'll find and see them bring Barrett back into the fold there. And, you know, O'Mara seems to be bedding down maybe at 6, Ronan at 3, and even was it Conor Bow went back wing back.
Do you think he'll keep going with Conor Bow wing back?
He might well. He's probably looking at matchups there for the likes of your Hegarty's and your Tom Morrissey. So maybe he gives you that bit of size there, but he's also going to give you a bit of an attacking platform, which is your modern wing back. So be interesting to see. But they just were workmen like Dublin. You'd be kind of worried about Dublin at the moment. They seem to be stuck in that purgatory kind of place. They're neither heaven or hell at the moment, and I don't know what the Leinster Championship holds for them, but it was hard to make out what they're about there yesterday. And again, look, you know, quality forwards, they really need one or two.
Dublin obviously face a fairly tricky trip up to Corrigan Park next week. Just quickly before I let you go, lads, like, it started off with a couple of good games this weekend with Cork and Kilkenny next weekend, Wexford Offaly. We have Waterford, Clare, Tip, Galway, Antrim, Dublin. You'd have fancied Limerick to beat Westmead, but I'd say it might even have been a slow burner. It was a good start, but next weekend it'll really, really heat up properly. John and Eddie, thanks for joining me, and we'll be back next week with another show. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review and follow us on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.